Warning, you are about to listen to a life-changing session of the Think and Grow Rich Global Mastermind podcast. Any mind-blowing income, health, happiness, and otherwise earth-shattering testimonials of total transformation are not meant to serve as a guarantee of what will happen in your life as you continue to plug into this podcast. Rather, they're meant to give you an idea of what's possible. Bear in mind, results are not guaranteed, they are earned. Be forewarned, common side effects of listening to this podcast may include increased mental alertness, random and unexplained feelings of joy, a crystal clear sense of purpose in life, spontaneous outbursts of laughter, obscene amounts of new and exciting monetary deposits, and other ridiculously awesome symptoms of living a purpose-filled life. Please enjoy the show.
Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. This is Paul Hutchings dialing in from Nephi, Utah.
Nephi.
Good morning.
Good morning, Paul Hutchings.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Phyllis in Missouri.
Hey, Phyllis.
Hi, Phyllis. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is, what is it, Think and Grow Rich Thursday? It is Thursday. July 30th, 2015, this is Paul Hutchings dialing in from Nephi, Utah this morning. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of a good old Nephi, Utah. I hadn't myself, but my wife found us this nice little hotel about halfway on our trip down to Vegas. We're driving down to Vegas this weekend, having a little bit of a road trip, going to an event that I'm excited to get to because I'm going to associate with amazing people. I'm going to learn some of the best ideas in the world as it relates to entrepreneurship and home business. And guys, I'm going to do the best I can to bring back the best things that I learned to the Think and Grow Rich family. So be on the lookout for that stuff. But guys, I'm excited. I'm excited to be here. I'm pumped up for the message that we've got this morning. And I'm excited to just get on the phone today with each of you and be filling my mind with abundance, with prosperity, with the future, with possibility, with all of the things that we dwell upon and meditate on every morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. I'm excited to learn more of the laws of the universe. I'm excited to seek and hopefully understand truth on a deeper level so that I can apply it in my life and be more of a blessing to my family and the people around me. And I want to know, are you guys excited about that stuff too? And if you are, I want to hear you guys on this thermonuclear Thursday. Scream into the phone. Let's let the universe know that we are alive, we are awake, and we're ready to go get it today as I unmute the line right now. You guys are awesome. You know, funny thing, I'm actually sitting outside in my car because my beautiful wife is still catching a little bit of Z's up in the hotel room, and I didn't want to wake her up. So as we just screamed into the phone, there was this guy walking his dog going into the hotel room, and he looks over at my car like, what the heck is going on in there? Funny stuff. Anyway, guys. Hey, I'm excited. We're gonna have an awesome message today. And I had something that I wanted to share that kind of relates to what we do on this call every single day and going through our definite purpose and self-confidence formula. You know, I had an opportunity yesterday to learn from one of our team members inside the network marketing team that I build with my personal company. We've got a guy who came on about 45 days ago, and he has sponsored, I think, 55 people personally in 45 days. That's quite an achievement, isn't it, to sponsor 55 people personally in like 45 days? And so yesterday, we brought him out for the team. As you know, we're always on the lookout for great producers and great achievers so that we can share what they're doing, you know, with the people that we're working with. And so we brought him out yesterday, and we wanted him to train everyone. Like, how do you do it? How do you sponsor 55 people in 45 days? And what he shared, it took me off guard a little bit, but then it did it. And I want to share with you guys just a couple of things that he shared
because it relates to what we do on this call every single day, Monday through Friday. And it also relates to doing anything great, I believe, in vision, in business and in life. And I never get tired of hearing stories where this has an impact. And I never get tired of sharing stories where this has an impact, because it truly is inspirational, it truly is magical, and it truly is fundamental. So this team member came out, and, you know, we got all of our team on this webinar, and they're ready to hear the secret, you know, process, the secret game plan, the secret strategy. Like, how did he do it? And by the way, he did not have a big list of people to start with. He did sponsor a few people from his inner circle or, you know, his warm market, but he's already in now to people that he doesn't know, and he's still sponsoring people at a mind-blistering rate in a completely cold market. So it's not a situation where he just, you know, talked to people that he knew and got them in. No, he's sponsoring brand-new people, so with a very, very small list, mind you. And so here's the thing is he came on our hangout yesterday, and guess what the first thing he told everyone was? The first thing he did was he said, guys, the most important step to being able to duplicate or even exceed the results that I've achieved in my business, the most important thing is you've got to have a personal vision. And he said, I want to read you mine. And so he pulls out this sheet of paper that he has, and he starts to read his vision out loud with passion. Every word fell off his tongue and out of his mouth with feeling and passion and soul, and it was crystal clear. You know, he's talking about how he was going to get his $1 million, you know, award, and he was going to be on stage, and he was going to be hugging all the leaders on stage, and he named them one by one by one, and he looks out into the audience, and he sees his team, and there's thousands of people on his team, and they're cheering, and he's excited because he's given them an example of what's possible, and he's flying all over the world attending seminars and, you know, speaking and inspiring and lifting thousands of people everywhere. And he just delivered this vision that was so crystal clear, and he did it with such power, and he said he goes through this vision like 10 to 15 times a day sometimes. He'll just speak it with power and enthusiasm, and because he knows where he's going, people decide to follow him. And I thought it was just a fascinating example of one of the things that we strive to do every day on this call, and that is to A, have a vision ourselves, and B, encourage other people to have a personal vision. What does the Bible say about vision? It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. If we do not have a personal vision for ourselves, it might be that we will perish financially. It might be that we will perish in ways that we don't want to perish. So it's crucial that we have a personal vision. And one of the things that I wanted to share with you guys is, you know, we're going through this definite purpose, and we're setting our income goals, and we're setting all sorts of different things. And one of the things that we can do that can really help, at least it's really helping me, is to imagine what we're going to be doing with this money, and not just from a standpoint of how it's going to bless us, but how about how it's going to bless the people around us? For instance, if we're going to hit a certain income level, chances are we might need some help. We might need to invest some advertising dollars. We might need to, you know, hire some people here and there to help us with certain aspects of our business so that we don't have to do it all ourselves. We need some help, right? So what about when we're visualizing the income that we're generating, why not visualize the expenses that are going up with that income, but don't look at the expenses as a negative thing, but look at the expenses as a positive thing. And we can say things like, you know, because I'm on the path to earning however much money that I'm going to earn, I'm going to need some help. And, you know, that's going to mean that my expense budget is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the cool thing about that is it means that the more money I generate, the more lives I bless through sending those dollars back out into the marketplace. It gives a little bit different of a feel to increasing our income when we know that as we increase our income, lives are being blessed. You know, I've got this friend here in Idaho that flips properties. And what he told me the other day, we talk a lot, He said, Paul, every time I flip a property, 30 people get paid. And you know why that is? It's because he does none of the work himself, other than finding the property and putting the plan together and organizing the people. He farms out all of the work. And so when he flips the property, not only does he get paid handsomely, but think about this, guys. 30 families in the community get paid. The guy who does the flooring, you know, the gal who comes in and designs the colors and does the paint. You know, the people that bring in the appliances, the construction crews, 30 different families get paid for flipping one house. Now, that's a little bit different way to look at flipping a house, right? You could look at flipping a house as like, oh, I just want to make a big $30,000-$50,000 profit. And some people look at it this way. They're like, I'm going to do all the work myself because I've got to save money and I've got to pinch and you know, to pinch these pennies and save every little bit. And you know what happens to those people? It takes them longer to flip a property. They're the only ones who make the money, and really no one around them gets blessed. So isn't it a little bit more enlightened way to look at things to realize that we're going to need help, and it's okay to have help, and it's actually good to have help because we're sending dollars back out into the marketplace. So that's one thing that I would encourage everyone to do when we're going through our definite major purpose is just realize how many lives can be blessed by the increase of our wealth. And maybe even think about some things that you're going to do, you know, for charity, because that can go a long way too. One of my mentors a couple of weeks ago shared something with me. I've known this mentor for 5 years, and I've never heard him say this before because he doesn't spread it around and share it with everyone because, you know, what does it say? I think it says something in the Bible of like, you know, if you broadcast your good deeds before men and women, you have your reward, right? So sometimes it's good to keep these things quiet, I think, just you know, between maybe your family and God or the universe or the creator, whatever you want to call it. I kind of think that's a good idea. So anyway, my mentor, he doesn't share this stuff, but I was on a private hangout with him and he shared it for the first time. And he says, you know what? He says, one thing that my family does as we take a certain percentage of our income and we donate it to feed kids who otherwise would not be able to eat. And he started to cry when he was talking about this. The tears started falling out of his eyes. And he said, even when I don't feel motivated to work and move my business forward, I think of that and I'm instantly motivated because I know that the more money that I generate, the more success I have and the more lives I transform, the more kids can eat food. And he said, I have kids. And when he thought about his kids, he started to cry a little bit. You know, thinking about kids in the world that don't have food, what if the increase of your income meant that kids who would otherwise not be able to eat could now eat? How powerful might that be to include in your vision, your personal vision, as you're stating it every single day? So guys, there's lots of things we can do to electrify and invigorate our lives as we continue to step forward in life, in business, on our epic journeys to do bigger and better things and to live life more fully and more abundantly. And I hope some of these ideas have helped you guys. I know they're helping me, so obviously I want to pass them along. That's what we do, right? We learn great things and we pass them along. So with that, let's go through our definite major purpose, self-confidence formula, and then we will get into our study for the day. And I'm excited about that. So one second here. Star 6, who has that ready for us this morning? Definite purpose, self-confidence formula.
Hey, Paul, it's Amy in Vegas.
Hey, good morning, Amy.
Good morning. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. Okay, major definite purpose. By the first day of, I will have in my possession, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In exchange for this, I will give the most efficient service of which I am capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and the best possible quality of service in the capacity of. I believe I have this in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see this before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It is now awaiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service I intend to render for it. I am awaiting a plan by which to accumulate this, and I will follow that plan when it is received. self-confidence formula. First, I know I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent and continuous action toward its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know through the principle of auto-suggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. Fourth, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop endeavoring until I shall have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. And fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat it aloud at least once a day with full faith that it will gradually influence my thoughts and actions so that I will become an even more self-reliant and successful person. O divine providence, I ask not for more riches, but more wisdom with which to use the riches that you gave me at birth, consisting in the ability to control and direct my own mind to whatever ends I may desire. Amen.
Amen, Amy Gorniak. Oh, I got to tell you, Amy, I love you. You bless my life so much with your positive attitude and that big smile you have on your face. And I can't wait to see you in that JP this weekend. And guys, hey, if you believe in Amy, if you think she has the ability to do what she sets her mind to do, if she's blessed your life in any way, let's let her know real quick as I unmute the lines right now. All right, guys, thank you so much for that. Let's get to work. We are in Chapter 5 of The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles, and you can download this little but powerful ebook on our website at growrichaudios.com in the free download section if you don't yet have it. Chapter 5 is entitled Increasing Life. So let's get into it. He writes, "You must get rid of the last vestige of the old idea that there is a deity whose will it is that you should be poor or whose purposes may be served by keeping you in poverty. The intelligent substance, which is all and in all and which lives in all and lives in you, is a consciously living substance. Being a consciously living substance, it must have the nature and inherent desire of every living intelligence for increase of life. Every living thing must continually seek for the enlargement of its life, because life, in the mere act of living, must increase itself. A seed, dropped into the ground, springs into activity, and in the act of living produces 100 more seeds. Life, by living, multiplies itself. It is forever becoming more. It must do so if it continues to be at all. Intelligence is under this same necessity for continuous increase. Every thought we think makes it necessary for us to think another thought. Consciousness is continually expanding. Every fact we learn leads us to the learning of another fact. Knowledge is continually increasing. Every talent we cultivate brings to the mind the desire to cultivate another talent. We are subject to the urge of life, seeking expression, whichever drives us on to know more, to do more, and to be more. In order to know more, do more, and be more, we must have more. We must have things to use, for we learn and do and become only by using things. We must get rich so that we can live more. The desire for riches is simply the capacity for larger life seeking fulfillment. Every desire is the effort of an unexpressed possibility to come into action. It is power seeking to manifest which causes desire. That which makes you want more money is the same as that which makes the plant grow. It is life seeking fuller expression. The one living substance must be subject to this inherent law of all life. It is permeated with the desire to live more, and that is why it is under the necessity of creating things. The one substance desires to live more in and through you. Therefore, it wants you to have all the things you can use. It is the desire of God that you should get rich. He wants you to get rich because he can express himself better through you if you have plenty of things to use in giving him expression. He can live more in you if you have unlimited commands of the means of life. The universe desires you to have everything you want to have. Nature is friendly to your plans. Everything is naturally for you. Make up your mind that this is true. It is essential, however, that your purpose should harmonize with the purpose that is in all. You must want real life, not mere pleasure or sensual gratification. Life is the performance of function, and the individual really lives only when he performs every function, physical, mental, and spiritual, of which he is capable without excess in any. You do not want to get rich in order to live swinishly for the gratification of animal desires. That is not life. But the performance of every physical function is a part of life. And no one lives completely who denies the impulses of the body a normal and healthful expression. You do not want to get rich solely to enjoy mental pleasures, to get knowledge, to gratify ambition, to outshine others, to be famous. All these are a legitimate part of life, but the person who lives for the pleasure of the intellect alone will only have a partial life, and he will never be satisfied with his lot. You do not want to get rich solely for the good of others, to lose yourself for the salvation of mankind, to experience the joys of philanthropy and sacrifice. The joys of the soul are only a part of life, and they are no better or nobler than any other part. You want to get rich in order that you may eat, drink, and be merry when it is time to do these things, in order that you may surround yourself with beautiful things, see distant lands, feed your mind, and develop your intellect, in order that you may love others and do kind things, and be able to play a good part in helping the world to find truth. But remember that extreme altruism is no better and no nobler than extreme selfishness. Both are mistakes. Get rid of the idea that God wants you to sacrifice yourself for others and that you can secure his favor by doing so. God requires nothing of the kind. What God wants is that you should make the most of yourself for yourself and for others. And you can help others more by making the most of yourself than in any other way. You can make the most of yourself only by getting rich. So it is right and praiseworthy that you should give your first and best thought to the work of acquiring wealth. Remember, however, that the desire of substance is for all, and its movements must be for more life to all. It cannot be made to work for less life to any, because it is equally in all, seeking riches and life. Intelligent substance will make things for you, but it will not take things away from someone else and give them to you. You must get rid of the thought of competition. You are to create, not to compete for what is already created. You do not have to take anything away from anyone. You do not have to drive sharp bargains. You do not have to cheat or take advantage. You do not need to let anyone work for you for less than he earns. You do not have to covet the property of others or to look at it with wishful eyes. No one has anything of which you cannot have the like, and that without taking what he has away from him. You are to become a creator, not a competitor. You are going to get what you want, but in such a way that when you get it, every other person whom you affect will have more than he has now. I am aware that there are those who get a vast amount of money by proceeding in direct opposition to the statements in the paragraph above, and may add a word of explanation here. Individuals of that type who become very rich do so sometimes purely by their extraordinary ability on the plane of competition, and sometimes they unconsciously relate themselves to substance in its great purpose and movements for the general upbuilding through industrial evolution. Rockefeller, Carnegie, Morgan have all been the unconscious agents of the supreme in the necessary work of systematizing and organizing productive industry. And in the end, their work will contribute immensely toward increased life for all. But their day is nearly over. They have organized production and will soon be succeeded by the agents of the multitude who will organize the machinery of distribution. And just a little insert here. I can't help but think of the home business profession and the internet and, you know, the way that people do business nowadays. You know, again, let me read this line and think about, you know, those things from that standpoint. They have organized production and will soon be succeeded by the agents of the multitude who will organize the machinery of distribution. It's a curious thought, isn't it? So let me continue on here. They are like the monster reptiles of the prehistoric eras. They play a necessary part in the evolutionary process, but the same power which produced them will dispose of them. And it is well to bear in mind that they have never been really rich. A record of the private lives of most of this class, and again he's talking about, you know, the uber wealthy people that he mentioned before, will show that they have really been most abject and wretched. Who got rich on the plane of competition, I'll add. Riches secured on the competitive plane are never satisfactory and permanent. They are yours today and another's tomorrow. Remember, if you are to become rich in a scientific and certain way, you must rise entirely out of competitive thought. You must never think for a moment that the supply is limited. Just as soon as you begin to think that all the money is being cornered and controlled by others, and that you must exert yourself to get laws passed to stop this process and so on, in that moment you drop into the competitive mind and your power to cause creation is gone for the time being. And what is worse, you will probably arrest the creative movements you have already begun. Know that there are countless millions of dollars worth of gold in the mountains of the earth not yet brought to light. And know that if there were not, more would be created from thinking substance to supply your needs. Know that the money you need will come, even if it is necessary for 1,000 men to be led to the discovery of new gold mines tomorrow. Never look at the visible supply. Look always at the limitless riches in formless substance, and know that they are coming to you as fast as you can receive and use them. Nobody, by cornering the visible supply, can prevent you from getting what is yours. So never allow yourself to think for an instant that all the best building spots will be taken before you get ready to build your house, unless you hurry. Never worry about the trusts and combines and get anxious for fear they will soon come to own the whole earth. Never get afraid that you will lose what you want because some other person beats you to it. That cannot possibly happen. You are not seeking anything that is possessed by anybody else. You are causing what you want to be created from formless substance, and the supply is without limits. Stick to the formulated statement. There is a thinking stuff from which all things are made, and which, in its original state, permeates, penetrates, and fills the interspaces of the universe. A thought in this substance produces the thing that is imaged by the thought. A person can form things in his thought, and by impressing his thought upon formless substance, can cause the thing he thinks about to be created. And there we have chapter 5, my friends. Interesting stuff, isn't it? I want to make one comment to kick off the mastermind portion of the call, and then I'm excited to hear what has stuck out to you guys and gals as we've gone through this information that challenges maybe some of what we have been taught to believe growing up. You know, one idea that was really, this caused a profound breakthrough inside of me when I first learned it and when I first thought of it. You know, this idea that, Wallace Waddles talks about how he says, you know, quote, God does not want you to sacrifice yourself completely for the good of others. He says he requires nothing of the kind. And then he goes on to say, what God wants is that you should make the most of yourself, not just for others, but for yourself and for others. That was quite a different thought to me. And I remember thinking about this and trying to figure out, like, where did my ideas come from that caused me to believe that it was, like, the most noblest thing ever for me to just sacrifice myself and everything and my good just strictly for the benefit of others without, you know, thinking about my benefit. And I remember thinking about, you know, there's this line in the New Testament. I think it's, is it from Jesus? It says something to the effect of love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I remember thinking about that line in relation to this idea that Wallace Waddles is putting forth here, that God doesn't want us to just sacrifice ourselves completely for the benefit of others. You know, he wants us to make the most of ourselves for ourselves and for others. And I remember that line, it says, love your neighbor as yourself. And I remember having this big breakthrough where it was like, wow, it doesn't say love your neighbor more than yourself. It doesn't say make your neighbor and his wants and his needs super important so that you completely eliminate yourself and your family. No, it says love your neighbor as you love yourself. And to me, that implies that A, we love ourselves first. We have to love ourselves. We have to be in the equation. So it's like we can't just remove ourselves from the equation. It's more like we love people as we love ourselves. We love ourselves. We love the people around us. We want good for ourselves, and we want good for people around us. And that's a little bit different idea, isn't it, than the win-lose philosophy that we're sometimes taught. Sometimes we're taught that in order for us to win, someone else must lose. I remember one of my dear family members. In fact, I'm pretty sure that he still has this idea. But his idea was that, he decided early on that he wasn't going to generate income, a lot of it anyway, because he realized that in order for him to have money, it meant someone else having less. So it's like win-lose. And that's certainly one way to look at the world. But here's another way. How about in us generating income, we're delivering a service, a product, a value to the people around us that is worth more than the money we got from them, so that after that transaction, the person we got the money from is left in a better position, not necessarily because they have more money, because they might have a little bit less from the transaction, but their life is enriched in a way, it's enriched in such a way that they have something more because they got something that was more valuable to them in their life than just the money. So it's a different way to look at it, isn't it? Love our neighbors as we love ourselves. It implies that everyone can increase in the transaction. It doesn't have to be win-lose. It doesn't have to be us sacrificing to lift others up. We can win and they can win. Isn't that an interesting way to look at it? That was a big breakthrough for me. So I wanted to share that. And I'm excited to hear what has stuck out for you in this chapter. What's touched you? What stirred you? What stories and experiences do you have that relate to what we're talking about? The Thinking Gurich family is really excited to hear. So let me go ahead and unmute the lines. Keep in mind, this is not a company-specific call, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless the leaders are part of our community, and brevity and relevance always appreciated in your comments. One moment, please. Star 6
Clearwater, Florida.
Hey, we got Anthony and then Bill. Go ahead, Anthony. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Thinking Grow Rich family. And, you know, as I think about this chapter, Paul, and how you came out about the increase of life, and I think about this chapter, and I think about how it has applied to my life. And in this book, it says, we live for the body, we live for the mind, and we live for the soul. And none of these are more worthy than the other, right? It says it in the book. And the thing about, as I think about that and how this principle of increase of life have manifest in my life and how I have used it, because we all have this urge to be more, to have more, and to do more in society. We all have this urge. It's common to man, and it points it out in the book. But the thing about it is that sometimes this three parts of us, mind, body, and soul, we could become off balance. Because I know that I've used this, and I use this more so towards my spiritual and my spiritual development. And so that increase of life, it was off balance. I wasn't living for my mind. I wasn't living for my body. But as I started studying different information, and as it says in this book, that we live for our body, our mind, and our soul. And I was thinking about this. I was like, you know, as I started processing this thought and thinking about this, I was like, well, the thing about it is the body dies. So, and this was the off balance thinking. So I live for the body, but the body dies. And the mind don't eat for a while, and the mind has no power to use its intellectual faculties, right? And so my thinking was, well, I should live for my spirit and give all my power, all my energy to my spirit, because the other two are not important. But then again, as I started reading, the thing about it is that the spirit needs both of those two, the mind and the body, in order to do its work. So it has to be a balance between all three. And we can't just live for one, because I know, you know, in my younger days, coming up through religious teachings and stuff like that from 17 on, that was my main goal, was to find out what exactly is going on in life, right? And then just disregarding everything else as far as with my mind and my body, and realizing that the spirit itself, this is why we have and why we are here. We're a three-part being, so we have to live for all three. And like it says in the book, none of them are more worthy than the other. So, I mean, this makes total sense. And the increase of life, when you think about it, everything increases in life. And like I said, we all have this urge inside. So I just wanted to add that, but those are the things that jumped out at me. So everybody have a blessed day. Back to you, brother.
Awesome thoughts, Anthony. Appreciate you sharing that. Bill Moyes, hey, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks for asking.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning, family. You know, I don't know, you know, those of us who are in the call every day, we kind of forget how life-changing this material is. But I just want to remind you, this is life-changing. And anybody you know who needs their life changed, well, please invite them to the call, because this is amazing stuff. I was really inspired by the young man who had the vision that you were talking about. And I realized, especially when I'm in a battle, I need to get up my major definite purpose more often during the day and recite it. But one of the things that remind me of is Dr. Hill someplace said that it's okay to have minor definite purposes. Like a minor definite purpose would be to get a new car, to get a new house, maybe put your kids to college. And so he told the story that his minor definite purpose was to get a Rolls Royce. He thought that, you know, since he was about wealth, that he should have a Rolls Royce. He didn't really have the money for it, but that was the vision he had, that he wanted a Rolls Royce, and he saw exactly the color, the model, and everything about it. So then he was speaking publicly someplace, I don't remember where it was, maybe it was in Philadelphia, and so he spoke that out. He said, you know, I'm going to be getting a new Rolls Royce within so many days, and he described the color and all the detail. And he thought it was kind of bold at the time, but he did it anyways. And after the meeting, a man came up to him and said, I have your Rolls Royce. He said, what are you talking about? Well, I have your Rolls Royces out front. He said, well, I don't have the money to pay for it. It doesn't matter. Come on out and see if it's the right one. And it was exactly the same color, the same style, the same everything, exactly. He said, well, this, you know, start it up and see if you like it. He said, yeah, I love it. He said, well, I don't have the money to pay for it. He said, that's okay. Just give me money as you – just pay for it as you get the money. And so Dr. Hill spoke a Rolls Royce into being. So how many things are there that we can't speak into our being, speaking into existence, and including them as minor definite purpose in our major definite purpose. So for me, the two big things are I want to get back to private aircraft travel. That's what I love doing. And so I'm going to speak that into being because that for some reason that really when I'm in a private aircraft, I love that. That brings great joy to me. So I'm going to start speaking that and including that in my major definite purpose. So wonderful stuff. Back to you, Paul. Love you all.
Private jet for Bill Moyse. I am all for it, Bill. I love it.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that.
Hi,
Paul.
Thanks for sharing. I'm sorry, was that Sharon?
Yeah.
Hey, good morning, Sharon.
Great. So Paul, there's this song. It's in the play called Dream Girls. And the lead character sings this song that says, I am changing, getting my life together now. Well, Paul, I have been changing for the last few years. And the more I look at myself, I realize I'm not doing too bad because I'm reading, I'm developing myself, I'm listening, I'm masterminding with this group. This morning I found my little index card which talked about the Mastermind Alliance, how our minds have to mesh and how it creates that third mind and how both minds must be harmonious, but it takes years of adjustment to develop yourself. And this goes again to the mastermind event that I went to two weeks ago, where it talks about conditioning your unconditioned mind. What I love about Wallace Wattles is he says, yeah, today, Morgan, Ford, Rockefeller, they are the men of today. But he was wise enough to know that technology and the Industrial Revolution was going to change all those things. When you talked about sacrificing yourself, I looked at myself, constantly sacrificing myself for family and friends. And now when I make decisions, before I make a decision, I'm thinking, is this in my best interest for myself and others? But I think a lot clearly before I do that. So when it says when he said to make the most of yourself, we can do anything we want to do. I loved it, loved it, loved it, Paul. That's my share.
Love it, and you, Sharon. Keep up the great work. You are on an awesome path, my friend. Hey guys,
hey,
I think I heard Mr. Mike Hobbs. Was that Mike Hobbs I heard?
Yeah, you did. How's it going?
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to come out real quick. I dialed in, and you know, I heard that. You know, obviously that guy with his vision, amazing. You know, I was on that webinar as well. So very cool stuff. But one thing you reminded me of that I wanted to come out, and I actually refer to it as the law of prosperity, and that's how I refer to it. I don't know if it's actually called that. But there's some scriptures and things in the Bible, you know, give and you shall receive. Also, you know, there's another quote that I really like is the more you give away, the more you keep. And it really reminded me of what you talked about when he was, you know, just flipping real estate. And I actually apply it to things like mundane things like bills. Like, a lot of times people are like holding on to their money so tightly, so they have this dollar bill in their hand and they go to pay their phone bill and they're holding on to it so tightly. Oh, dang, it's $100 or it's $200. And they just keep holding on to this phone bill and then they finally pay it and they're like, fine, take my money, you know? And then same thing with like any other bill. They like hold on to the money and then they're like, fine, take it. Well, the problem with that is it's not a prosperity mindset. Because number one, you know, think about the service you get. Think about being able to use your phone. Think about all the different things you get. But also think about who else you're blessing other people. You know, there's employees that phone company, employees. There's you know, the phone company itself, you know, makes money. So you have to think about who else are you blessing when you give that money, and then obviously then you open that up for the law of prosperity to come back to you. So don't just apply it to giving to charities. Don't just apply it to, you know, giving things. Just apply it to everything. If you give away money, or if you pay for things, if you pay for bills, whatever you pay for, let it go, release it, and say thank you, you know, for this service. Or just say thank you, and then I promise, just that little bit of release will allow more money to come into your life, because when people are paying you, now they won't be holding on to their money so tightly like you're holding on to your money tightly when you're paying bills. So just want to throw that out there. Thanks, Paul.
So powerful, Mike. Thank you for that, buddy. It's good to hear you, man. I love hearing you and your wisdom. Thanks for being here. Can't wait to see you tomorrow. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hi, Paul, it's Sharon.
Hey, Sharon.
I'm just jumping out again for another minute to say something quickly, that when we begin to change, you know, our children begin to change too, because I remember with my big son, my focus with him was more education, 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 and he's 17 now, but my younger son that's 10, he's been around me with. And my son was around me with personal development, too. But what I'm doing with my 10-year-old is I'm sharing the information with him also. So he'll get around my friends and he'll tell my friends, I'm going to get a Jaguar. And they look at him as a 10-year-old saying, what is he saying? He goes, yes, and I have the key. And yes, Paul, he does have the keychain. So when we begin to change ourselves and teach our children about being rich and doing it the right way, and unconditioned in our mind so we can condition their mind, they become such better people, and they'll be better than us when they get older. That's my share.
I love it. I love it. That's so awesome, Sharon. Thank you for that.
All right.
Star 6, who's next? Come on out, guys. I'd love to hear from you if you've got something on your mind or in your heart.
Hi, it's Spencer.
Hey, Pass. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I totally agree with what Sharon is saying. About what you, as you change, so do your kids change. It was pretty funny. Last night I was with my nephew, my son, and my daughter. We were coming back from a fair in New York City. And my nephew looks at my son. He goes, what's your birth date again? He's like, you're a Virgo. You don't act much like a Virgo. And my son goes, what's that? He's like, that's your zodiac sign. He's like, zodiac what? He's like, he's like, your zodiac sign, Virgos are supposed to act like this. And my son looks at him, he's like, I act like my dad. My dad is always happy, always joyful, always has something nice to say about somebody else. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do just what my daddy does. And I look, because I have four children, and I went through many different phases in my life. And my one son is a lot more reserved, my oldest son, because he was there before all of the personal development. So he's a lot more reserved and a lot less likely to smile in your face, and a lot less likely to be as helpful. But I look at my two younger kids, and they're baby happiness engineers. If I don't smile for at least 2 minutes, they're trying to put a new smile on my face, whether it's a dance, a song, something that they've written, something that they drew. And they do that with everybody that they see. They literally just want to see everyone around them genuinely happy. So I swear that, you know, the best thing that you can do for your children, not outside of just leading them by example, but sharing this information that you read, sharing, you know, your new self, sharing your challenges as well as your triumphs, so that they can understand that they can overcome anything with a smile. So that's just my thought for today.
So powerful, Pass. I love you, man. You're such a great example, such a great dad. Thank you for sharing that with us. Reminded me yesterday before I left, I was hugging my 7-year-old son, and And my last words to him were, hey, I said, please, while me and mommy are gone, please follow the laws of success, especially number 15. And I said, do you remember what one that is? The golden rule. And then him and his older brother went off and got in a little argument right after that. But hey, we're trying, right? We're planting these seeds, and I do think it makes a difference. So keep up the good work, Pat. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Latonya Hawkins
in New York.
All right, I got Latonya and then someone in New York. So, Latonya, go ahead. Good morning.
Awesome. Great morning, family. This is Latonya. I wanted to share in regards to how you emphasized at the end, Paul, about doing for yourself, loving yourself more than you love others. I recently watched a documentary on Georgia Broadcast Network in regards to a pastor who was assisting a lot of family members or men that had came to their particular state because a company was offering jobs for individuals to do some mining work. And well, this church was housing these men who didn't have homes, and they were allowing them to live on his property. And he ended up inviting a gentleman to live in his home because the church was overpopulated. Well, they had trusted this pastor. They had did all these great things, and they were actually gaining this work for this company. And they were getting paid like $35 an hour. But those individuals was not putting that money back into the church nor assisting the pastor with the things that the church needed. So the church was going under. They was having some adversity from the members of the church. Well, out of the kindness of the pastor's heart, the community had turned on him. The individuals who he was helping had turned on him. And the people he was trying to help to gain work with his company, he ended up having to turn over his ministry and ended up with a pauper himself. So I definitely understand. And people in the church, we have a tendency to do more for others than we do for ourselves. And then we get hard-hearted and we get bitter. And then we become like crabs pulling one another down. So I thank you for sharing this. It was an enlightening for me to get back on track. And I appreciate you guys for sharing the nuggets this day.
Appreciate you. Great story, Latonya. Thank you for that. Who was the lady in New York? Who's that?
Veronica.
Oh, hey, Veronica. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you? Thank you, Glovich family. Hope everybody's doing well. I just wanted to share that I started sharing this with the teen group that I work with in the evening. And I got a number of really positive responses, and especially from the young men, they were interested. They were thinking about the whole the definite purpose and the confidence thing. And I'm realizing that the ones that didn't grasp it is really a lack of confidence that makes people not feel that they can do these things. I can't wait till they get to this book that we're on now, and I think that it, for me, what we read today kind of helped me erase some things that I got from, I don't know, the meek shall inherit the earth and money is the root of all evil, that kind of stuff that makes you feel like you're supposed to stay poor and money, you know, pursuit of money is bad or pursuit of being rich is bad. I needed to put that aside because you can't really help anybody or help yourself if you don't have any money. And keeping both thoughts would kind of like just make you crazy. So I think that, well, I'm glad I was on this call to catch that and to make that final decision to let that other thought kind of just stay over there and work with pursuing enough wealth to help people. So that's my thought for today, and I thank you for organizing this and whoever included me in it, and I thank them too.
Beautiful thoughts, Veronica. Thank you so much for that.
Hey, Paul, it's Lisa Scott.
Hey, Lisa Scott, how are you?
I am awesome this morning, and just sitting here, just listening to everybody. This has been a really awesome call. And what came to mind for me is a word called cognitive dissonance. And what cognitive dissonance is when we can hold two or more belief systems inside of us at the same time, and it causes us a little bit of mental stress. and also when a new thought is introduced in the body and you get that feeling that goes in your heart and you're like, ooh, oh my goodness, I never heard that before. So when you're listening to Wallace Waddles and he's talking about things like you must get rich, you know, it's your duty, it's your responsibility to get rich. It's like it goes to the heart of the matter and really challenges us to think about, okay, why is it a good thing for us to get rich? And he goes into that in such depth that causes you to think about things that you've never thought about before. When I think about, you know, expanding life or life just expanding, and I think about the fact that, okay, yeah, I need to have money so I can travel around this world, so that I can see new things, so that I can expand as an individual, so that I can take in more information, so that I can be more creative, so that I can impact my business, so that I can impact others. All of this makes perfect sense to me, but initially we might go through a little bit of cognitive dissonance because we never heard this information before. But I'm just so thankful for the book. I'm thankful for the Think and Grow Rich family and thankful for all of the different perspectives, because it just gives us that opportunity once again that if we're at a crossroads that is keeping us from forward momentum in our lives and business, this call assists us to be able to stop, pay attention to what is it that I'm struggling with in my mind so that we can make a decision, just like Veronica just talked about. Back to you, Paul.
Well said, Lisa Scott. And we are all so thankful for you. Hey, Super Duper Stan, good morning.
Good morning, Paul, my brother from the other mother, man. Incredible crawl, an incredible call, and enjoying it all. I was out of town a few days myself. Busy, but I heard in one of the comments that was made, that money is the root of all evil. So I just wanted to plug in that in the Bible, it talks about the love of money, and that's what a lot of people, when they are looking at you or anyone, rather, that's busy about growing and busy about generating wealth and income, it is so quick that people will say they love money. They don't see as quick what they are doing with it. And, of course, if that person is somebody who's just stuck on making a lot of money for themselves and
right,
and not helping other people, then, yes, that's not the motive. That's not the reason. That shouldn't be why they're doing it. But for a person who's motivated to grow and generate more income, to be able to bless themselves and others, that's the picture that people should be seeing. And that's what people should be revealing, to make sure that, hey, this is what it's all about. It's not just me. It's not just you. It's all of us. And but the love of money is where the root of all evil is. You know, trying to that's why people were cheating and hurt somebody else to get it, because they're loving money instead of what money is doing for all of us together. So just wanted to plug that in. Y'all have a super duper day, family. Paul, back to you.
Awesome thoughts, Super Duper Stan. Thank you for that. Star 6, we've got about 3 minutes left. Come on out, guys.
Hey, Paul, this is Dave from Minnesota.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's been a while since I've been out. Man, I got a request. I don't know if you can slice out that, you know, because I know we don't get into our companies, but if you can cut out that section where Vitaly read his major definite purpose yesterday and post that in the group, I think that'd be so beneficial. I was driving. I had to pull over. I had tears in my eyes from listening to that, because I don't know, man, that's just the way it's supposed to be done. And as long as I've been listening to this, and I know I said months ago, I'm going to do my major definite purpose, I sit down and I go to write it, and it just, I don't know, I just can't put it down on paper. But this weekend I'm going to go through that and, you know, make my own based on that, because it just flabbergasted me how, you know, I've been doing this for so long, and a guy that comes in for 45 days does what he's done, it's beyond inspiring. And, you know, it's not company specific. I mean, it could be done in whatever your endeavor is. So I just wanted to reiterate your, you know, little injection earlier in the call that it was all kinds of amazing. So everybody have an awesome weekend. And, man, I wish I could be there in Vegas with you guys this weekend, Paul, but everybody have a great weekend, and I will listen to the result next week.
Sounds good.
Well, there you go, guys. When you can read your vision and bring tears to the eyes of another man or another woman, probably a good indication that that you're onto something. And I would encourage everyone, guys, let's just do, you know, like Dave's doing. Let's take some time and get it figured out. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Get out there making an awesome day. Believe in yourself. Believe in others. Love yourself. Love others. Serve yourself. Serve others. And we'll see y'all back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Bye for now. Love you guys.
Love you.
Oh.
Hey there, my friend, this is Paul Hutchings, and I want to thank you sincerely for listening to this week's edition of the Think and Grow Rich Call podcast. For more information on our community, to learn how you can listen to these calls daily and get the full panorama of all of the content and daily motivation and inspiration that we engage in, and to learn how you can connect with other like-minded entrepreneurs like yourself, feel free to visit our website, our home on the web at www.growrichaudios.com. Again, that's growrichaudios.com. And if you'd like to connect with me, feel free to visit my website, PipelineMoney.com. Again, that's www.PipelineMoney.com. Again, thanks for listening, and whatever you do, never give up on your dreams. Take care, and bye for now.
Love you right back.
Love my life. I love my life. I love you guys.
Make it a great day. Thank you, Growers Family. Good to see everybody.
I love you, baby.
The Thankful Thursday.
Thankful for all of you. Awesome.
Even from the car, this is still the best call ever.
Sure is.
Amen.
Yes. Best call ever. Best call ever.
Hallelujah.
Best people ever.
Hey.
Yeah.
Thank you, Paul.